If you have your Bible or New Testament, can I encourage you to look at Luke chapter 9 with me? And there are a couple of verses in our reading that I want us to focus upon for a while today. If you were ever asked or maybe even told by somebody to do something new, something you'd never tackled before, you'd probably want to know what was involved in it, what it entailed. So even if the questions weren't asked, they'd be in your mind. What's involved in this? What does it mean for me to do it? What is expected of me? And it really depends on the honesty of the person that you're asking. Because if they're straight and open with you and honest with you, then they'll tell you how it is. But they could deceive you. They couldn't answer your question honestly, and you would be left absolutely confused. And only when you began to do that work or tackle that job would you begin to realize that they'd bluffed you. When Jesus was here on earth, he spoke about people coming after me. If you look at verse 23, that's what he says. If anyone would come after me. And what he's talking about really is discipleship. In our terms nowadays, he's talking about becoming a Christian and being a Christian. So it means to come after Jesus. But the significant thing is that every time Jesus talked about this, he always told people what was involved. He never deceived people. He never misled them. He never in any way falsely enticed them. He always told them in very clear and in very stark terms sometimes what it meant to be a disciple, what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to come after him. And he did that because Jesus is honest. He doesn't want anybody to be under any misunderstanding or any misapprehension. You should know exactly, says Jesus, what you're committing yourself to if you come after me. And here in this context, he's not just addressing his close friends. He's actually talking to everybody. That's why his words in these verses that I want us to look at this morning are relevant not only to those of us who are Christians, those of us who have started on the road of discipleship. But they're also relevant for those of us who may even be thinking of becoming a follower of Jesus. So it matters not what position you may be in today. These words are relevant for all kinds of folk. Now, you can learn about discipleship in lots of ways. You can read the books, go on the courses, and they'll all be good for you. But if you really want to know what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, ask the Master himself. And here's what the Master says in verses 23, particularly. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I want you to notice something. Jesus is so radical. He's so different. His ideas, his thoughts, or teaching are totally opposed to that you find in this world in which we live. What he's just said cuts across the thinking and the ideas of the people of this world. If you read through Jesus' teaching, you'll find that over and over again. For example, if you read in the account of the Sermon on the Mount, you discover that the lifestyle and the values and the standards of Jesus' disciples are the very opposite to that of the society in which they live. Listen to this. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the peacemakers. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness. That's not the world's agenda for happiness. That's Jesus's. So what he has to say is alien to this world's opinions, for its ideas of success and prosperity and advancement and improvement are totally different from what Jesus teaches. That means that you and I are presented with a choice then. And the choice is really a very simple one. We are either going to listen to what Jesus says, or we're going to listen to what others say. We're either going to heed and follow what he tells us to do, or we're going to obey and heed what the world tells us to do. And this is his way. If you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's discipleship. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you continue as a Christian. Let me unpack those things that Jesus says then. He says, first of all, you must deny yourself. Now, to grasp what Jesus means, you have to understand there is a real difference between denying yourself things and denying yourself. There are people who believe that self-denial means giving up having sugar in your tea or eating chocolate for a couple of weeks in the year. The principle of self-denial is much more radical than that, and you will only understand it when you see it in the context in which it is. Jesus has just been speaking to his disciples about the cross. For him to accomplish his Father's will, he must and would die on a Roman cross. The Son of Man, verse 22, must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and others. He must be killed and on the third day be raised again. What Jesus was doing was pointing out to them that what really mattered to him was doing his Father's will for the salvation of people, and that meant renouncing every idea of self-preservation. And that's what it is for you and me. Self-denial is the fundamental aspect of true discipleship. It's a denial of self as the principle of your life. It repudiates self as the goal of your life. It's putting your own interests and your own wishes and your own ambitions and your own will, not just into the background, but totally out of the picture completely. And it means, therefore, living for the wishes and the will and the honor of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's the nature of Jesus' self-denial. Paul wrote these words to the Philippian church, describing Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. For us, it means my will, my ambitions, my desires don't count. The only thing that matters is him, his will. If to do that means you've got to leave your home and its comfort and its peace and go to the furthest parts of the world to a mission field, whether it means staying at home and working in your own culture and being a witness here doesn't matter. Whether it means you stay single for the rest of your days, whether it means you marry and you have a family, doesn't count. Whether you have lots and lots of money, whether you are in abject poverty, is immaterial. For you see, the real issue is this. What is the real goal of a person's life? In any circumstance, in any situation, is it to fulfill God's will? Or is it to follow self? And in the real sense, that's the issue that all of us face in our lives. It all really boils down to this. It all has to do with the Lordship of Jesus. And the choice we face is this. Is self going to be at the center of my life, or is Jesus going to be at the center of my life? Now, unlike him, we are sinners. And self for us is the very root of sin. What is it that drives our jealousy and our pride and our hatred and our resentment and our envy and all the rest? It's self, the very root of it. Sin. And when Jesus says this to us, to become my disciple, to become a Christian, and to continue to be my disciple, means that you have all your sinful, self-centered, personal ambitions set aside and renouncing all that is evil in your life, that you have no will but God's will. And the very core and center of your life is Jesus, his son. That's what it means to deny self. Jesus goes on and he says this, and you are to take up your cross daily. These are not alternatives, by the way. They're all parts of the same coin, as it were. And again, people misunderstand what Jesus says here very, very clearly, what Jesus is saying. Haven't you heard people talking about having a cross to bear? An unemployed husband? Arthritis in every joint? A child that you can't control? Having to face awkward people at work or at home or wherever? And we talk about it being, that's the cross I have to bear. That's not what Jesus means. It means more than coping bravely with some difficult person or some awkward problem that you have in your life. And you can only understand it, you and I, when we remember again that Jesus has just been speaking about the cross. And for him, the cross is not a demonstration of how you cope under difficulties and under pressure. It is the ultimate expression of his total commitment and obedience to his Father's will. Jesus went to the cross to die for sinners willingly, but he didn't go flippantly. He didn't go in some frivolous manner. He went in great anguish of spirit. Listen to how Matthew talks about that experience in Gethsemane. He prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." He went away a second time. "Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And he said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And in that torment, he realized and knew all that lay before him. And yet again and again, he comes and he says, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." And in that experience of Jesus to take up the cross as the ultimate of obedience to his Father, the words of Paul to Philippians again, he became obedient unto death, even the death on a cross. And for us, to become and be disciples of Jesus involves exactly the same for us. It involves utter obedience to the Father's will, irrespective of the consequences. You know, when Jesus used those words that day, people knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew what it meant to take up your cross. They saw people doing it almost every day in their streets. Under Roman control, that was the means of executing criminals. And they would see the man dragging his cross through the streets and along the roads. And they could see and hear the taunts of the soldiers and the crowd who gathered round him. And they knew there was one thing about that man that was clear. He was on a one-way journey. He was never, ever, ever coming back again. He was going to die. To take up your cross means that you're on a one-way journey. You're going to die. Because being a disciple of Jesus, my friend, is not a commitment of convenience. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean pleasing yourself. It doesn't mean doing what you want to do. It doesn't mean furthering your own interests. It doesn't mean attaining self-advancement. It is a total abandonment of yourself to Him. That's a serious business. Why? Because dying is a serious business. Being a disciple of Jesus is a total abandonment to Him. Do you see the wee significant word daily? Must take up his cross daily. See, what Jesus is speaking about is not some emotional crisis that you reach in your life. He's not talking about some particular period in your life when you've reached a spiritual high point. This is the attitude and the pattern of a life that is to be repeated every day. The cross is the pattern. The cross is the principle for our living. So that every day we're not governed by self, we are governed by self-denial and self-sacrifice that involves the abandonment of self-interest and self-indulgence. It involves a dying to sin daily. It involves a dying to self and a denial of self daily. And positively, it involves a living for Jesus. Paul puts it like this when he writes to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then he goes on and says this, and you're to follow me. There's so much in this. Following Jesus means that you identify with him and unashamedly acknowledge him before others as your friend and Lord and Savior. Not just in church, not just when you're surrounded by your Christian friends, not just in your home, but where you work, when you go down the street, when you're in the mart, when you're shopping, whatever you may be. Unashamed of Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. It means to go his way and to walk in his footsteps. It means to do what he says so that we obey his commands, whatever the cost may be. And the pattern of our lifestyle is patterned upon his lifestyle. And the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we do things, is with a desire to become more and more like him. It means that we trust him completely, that we depend upon him totally. It means that we surrender ourselves unreservedly to him so that he is the one who is at the very center of everything. And it means that the loyalty of our lives is to him first. First. Not second or third down our list of priorities. To follow Jesus means that we follow him loyally and completely and totally and dependently. Now, Jesus sums all this up in verse 24. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. Doesn't mean literally being martyred. But it's a statement that means this. The only way you will ever find fullness of life is to lose it. And you lose it by giving it to him. We give our lives to Jesus. He gives his life to us. In 1956, Jim Elliot, along with four other missionaries, was murdered by the Oca Indians in Ecuador. A short time before that, Jim Elliot wrote this in his diary. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Listen again to Jesus in verse 25. What good is it for somebody to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very soul or their very self? Imagine for a moment, I know it's impossible, but try to. Try to imagine for a moment that you were able to get everything in this world as yours. That there was nothing in the whole world that you couldn't put your finger upon and say, that belongs to me. That it would all be your possession. What would you really have if in the process of getting all of that, you lost the one important thing about your life? Your soul. And Jesus says, as he says so often in paradoxical ways, those who lose their lives for my sake will gain them. If you give up your life to Jesus, then you find real life. You know, my friends, when you deny yourself, when you take up your cross daily, and when you follow Christ, in the eyes of this world, you're a loser. A real loser. To them, you've wasted your life. You've missed out on all the excitement and all the pleasures. You've lost out on all the enjoyment. You're robbed of satisfaction, of having things. And in their estimation, you lose out, and they mock you. They might not do it always to your face, but sometimes they do. But they'll certainly do it behind your back. What a loser they are. They're Christians, you know. The reality is that you're not the loser. You haven't lost out. Oh, it's costly to be a follower of Jesus. I hope you've seen that. But we have found the only life that is really worth living. We have found real life and full life and eternal life that stretches beyond this world and beyond this existence. Now, that is alien to the thinking of this world. You look at lots of things, and what are you encouraged to do? You're encouraged to self-importance. You are important. You're encouraged to self-advancement. Get yourself on in this world. You're encouraged to self-dependence. I don't need anybody, and I certainly don't need God. You're encouraged to self-preservation. You're encouraged to please yourself and to assert yourself. And Christians are those who have died to all of that. It's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. George Muller was an amazing character and had a remarkable ministry in Bristol. He was questioned about the secret of his life, and this is what he replied. There was a day when I died, utterly died to George Muller, his opinions and his preferences, his tastes and his will. I died to the world, to its approval or censure. I died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and of my friends. And since then, I have striven only to show myself approved of God. What is the driving ambition of your life? What do you really want out of it? Is it to live to please yourself? Or is it to live to please him? Look closely at verse 23 again. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross daily. He must follow me. There's no options here. This is not for some super duper people. This is not something you can negotiate over. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be my friend, if you want me to work in your life, if you want to really find what it is that really matters in this world, if you want to be a Christian, then you must put aside your sinful, selfish ambition. You must shoulder your cross daily. You must follow me. And says Mark Luke to us, he said this to all of them, not to some of them, not to a few of them. He said this to all of them. You cannot become a Christian without this. And you cannot remain a disciple of Jesus without this. If you're a believer this morning, my friend, can I encourage you to take note of what God says is to mark your life as a disciple of Jesus? And you've got to work all of that out for yourself in your own individual life, haven't you? But there's the principle. The principle is denying yourself, taking up your cross every day, following him. Maybe you've been thinking about becoming a Christian. Maybe something's been said to you by a friend, or something's been preached from this pulpit by William or others. You think to yourself, I feel drawn to this. This is what it means. It costs you. But you're never the loser. So don't be keeping back. Don't be keeping back. Come to him. With that willingness and readiness to renounce your sin, which we call repentance, and to put your faith and your trust in him and follow him. There's no other way. Go that way, won't you? Let's pray together. Speak to our hearts, Lord, we pray today, that even through the weakness of these human words, you will convey the divine truth to our hearts and to our lives. And may it be ultimately for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.